This morning, God's Word comes to us from Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, we're going to be reading the first 17 verses of this chapter. Colossians 3, beginning at verse 1. What we hear now is God's Word. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back section of the Trinity Psalter hymnal, to page 888 in the back. Page 888, as today we look at Lord's Day 33. We will read the questions and answers there. I'll read the question, and we'll respond together with the answers. From page 888, Lord's Day 33, question 88, what is involved in genuine repentance or conversion? Two things: the dying away of the old self and the rising to life of the new. Question 89, what is the dying away of the old self? To be genuinely sorry for sin, and more to hate and run away from it. Question 90, what is the rising to life of the new self? Wholehearted joy in God through Christ, and a love and delight to live according to the will of God by doing every kind of good work. And question 91, but what are good works? Only those which are done out of true faith, conform to God's law, and are done for his glory, and not those based on our own opinion or human tradition. Well, last week we began looking at the third section of the Heidelberg Catechism to see the teaching of the Word of God there. This third section that talks about our thankful response to what God has done for us. He has accomplished our salvation. And in response, we ask the question, how then shall we live? How can we thank Him for what He has done? And that's the topic of the third section of the Catechism, the gratitude section. This is leading us up to a study of the law of God. This morning, we talk about the topic of genuine repentance and conversion. And these words, repentance and conversion, talk about a change that takes place. A change that takes place in us. We were living one way, and now we're going to live a different way. Very simply, children, that's what we're going to talk about. Repentance, conversion, kind of big words. We're going to change. We were living one way, and now we're going to live a different way. And that's what Paul talks about in Colossians chapter 3. Now, the words that Paul uses are words like putting off the old self and putting on the new self. He will talk about putting to death the things of the flesh, living according to the Spirit. Both of these talking about a change. You used to live like this. Now you're called to live like this. How do we demonstrate genuine repentance? How do we show the work of conversion in our lives? It expresses itself. Not simply in our thoughts, it expresses itself in our actions, in the way that we live. Our genuine repentance. And Paul begins by reminding us that repentance is rooted in what God has already done. Verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We're going to talk about what God has done first. And we have to remember that as we are going to be entering into a study of the law of God next week. It's very easy when we begin to talk about law and preach law, and we sometimes have a tendency to divorce it from grace. We think of law as a means unto grace, something that we have to do so God will take notice of us. Paul reminds us, and I will remind you over and over, we are called to live in a certain way because God acted first, because of what He has already done. Paul says, if then you have been raised with Christ, and the way he writes this sentence, this condition is, and you have been, we could translate it this way, since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. God has raised us with Christ. God came to us first, and He gave us new life. That's the idea of regeneration, being brought to new life. We are given a new heart. We once had a heart that was cold and dead to the things of God, a heart of stone. And God has now given us a heart that is pliable, that desires His ways. Now a heart of flesh. We've been taken from the death of our sin, death and darkness, and brought into life and light. God has worked to give us a new life, regenerated us, given us new life and new hope in Him, so that we are now raised with Christ. It says verse 2, therefore, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When you were dead in your sins, your minds were on the things of the flesh, were on the things of this world. But now, you have been made alive, raised with Christ. And so set your minds on things above, where Christ is. You have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God, Christ who lives. Paul elsewhere in the book of Romans will use this picture of the dying and being dying and raised with Christ. Yes, we were united with him in his death, and he took our sins down to the grave with him. We are also united with him in new life, in resurrection. He is now seated above. And the most obvious response we have is our minds are now to be on things above, no longer on things below. This is the work of the Spirit in the life of the believer. This is the process that goes on throughout our lives. And that's why our confession asks us this question: what is involved? What's involved in this genuine repentance and conversion? Two things, and both of these are active, ongoing things. The dying away of the old self, that's an ongoing thing, and the rising to life of the new, that's an ongoing thing. These two ongoing processes take place in our lives as we seek to honor God, as we see his work, the work of his Spirit in us. And it's not as if they are sequential, that first is the dying away of the old self, and once that's all gone, then we start the rising to life of the new self. No, these two go on together. And what we see is the more that we die into the old self, the more we will see the rising to life of the new self. These two go on at the same time. The dying away of the old self. Genuine repentance recognizes the need for death in our lives, putting to death the ways of sin. Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Put these things to death. We talked a number of weeks, I guess probably months ago now, about the relationship between our condition and our state. We said that before God came and worked in our hearts, we were in a sinful condition and found in a sinful state. After God works in us, changes us, we still have to deal with that sinful condition, but we are now seen, we are in the state of holiness and righteousness. God sees us as if we were truly righteous. So what Paul is saying here is, look, make your condition look like your state. Say no to the things of the flesh. Put to death more and more of that sinful condition. Look like who you are in Christ Jesus. And Paul, in Colossians 3, highlights two particular types of sin we are to put to death. The first is sexual sin. And we We read, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness." And we say, is the Bible relevant today? Is there anything more powerfully used by the media than sex in advertising, trying to sell us, trying to entice us? We are called to put these things to death. We see this sexual immorality on the television. We confront it on the internet. And we are called to put these things to death, to say no to the sinful desires of the flesh, to reject the false gratification we think we might get, to say no to sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, wanting that which we may not have. And Paul, in this list of sexual sins, reminds us that this has to do with our actions and with our desires. He begins with the external actions, sexual immorality and impurity, talking about external sexual sin, and then goes on to the root of those sins: passion, evil desire, and covetousness. These are internal. These are matters of the heart. As a reminder that this change that is wrought in us by the Holy Spirit is not just a change of external actions. It's a new heart. It's a change of heart. It's a desire that God would work on us, not only externally, but internally as well. And we put to death not only the external actions, we put to death the internal desires. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. He goes on with the second set of sins, verse 8. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. He talks about what we say. What we say, how do we talk to each other, how do we talk about each other? Again, our words and the language that we use. We must put to death those things which are not a blessing to others, but which tear others down. And here too, we see that contrast between that which is internal and that which is external. He starts here with those things that are internal. He says, you must put away anger, that's internal, wrath, that's internal, malice, that's internal. These internal desires of the heart, anger, rage, malice towards others. Because he says, that which is in the heart will express itself with your mouth. Externally, slander, obscene talk, lying. The work of repentance is not just changing the words we say. It's asking God to work on our hearts, to change what is inside. Jesus himself says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you are struggling with particular sins, with sexual sins, with sins of the tongue, then pray not only for the external to be changed, but ask God to take out the root of that sin, that his Spirit worked inside of us, that we see that dying away of the old self ongoing in our lives, in these two particular areas. the dying away of the old self. What is this, our confession says? To be genuinely sorry for sin, and more to hate and run away from it. To be genuinely sorry for our sin. Genuine sorrow, godly sorrow. Godly sorrow that what I have done, my sin, is an offense against a holy God. I have taken the name of God. I call myself Christian and trampled that name by the way that I live or what lives inside of my heart. Now set your mind not on earthly things, but set your minds on things above. Not on the earthly, but on the heavenly. Put to death that old sinful nature. Put to death the things of the flesh. It is the dying away of the old self. It is the coming to life, the rising to life of the new. And Paul talks about that as well, verse 12. After saying, put off these ways of the flesh, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Put on, not only what you put off, what you die to, but what do you see living in your life? Put these things on, and these are things we are to actively put on. I think that sometimes we are so well indoctrinated in the truth that our salvation is completely the work of God. We have done nothing to contribute to our salvation. Our justification is completely the declaration of God because of the work of Jesus Christ in us. Nothing we have done. But when it comes to our sanctification, yes, we need the work of the Holy Spirit in us. But we begin to do it. We are called to actively obey God. Actively do what He has called us to do. Now, we can't do it in our own strength. We need the strength of the Spirit. But we are the ones who do it. To live this way in our life. Put these things on, Paul says, as God's chosen, as His holy and beloved. And again, we see this list of qualities here. We might divide them into, they teach us how we act, and they teach us how we react. How we act. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts and kindness. How we act toward others. We act with compassion. We act with concern. We act with kindness toward others, expressing ourselves in positive ways toward them, doing what we can to help, to encourage, to alleviate their difficulties. Compassion and kindness, how we act toward others. And humility, meekness, and patience. How we react toward others. Not thinking too much of ourselves, but with the spirit of humility, particularly if a brother or sister in the Lord comes alongside of us to encourage us in our walk with God. Perhaps they see us living in a way that is harmful, and they come in love and graciously speak God's word to us rather than saying, "Who are you to talk to me?" We respond with humility. We humble our hearts. We humble ourselves. We accept that word of God.
humility, meekness, patience, maybe particularly with brothers and sisters in the Lord who just rub us the wrong way. We react with patience. We react with meekness. God has called us to react this way, and then goes on in verse 13, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. The spirit of forgiveness must live in the heart of the Christian. We must be those who are quick to forgive offenses, not to hold grudges day and week and month after month and year after year, but be those who are quick to forgive as God has forgiven us. That is the root of our forgiveness toward others. Not that the sin was not a significant sin, but we have been forgiven. We have been forgiven for all of our sins, for all of our offenses against a holy, righteous God. He, in Jesus Christ, forgives us. And because of that forgiveness we have received, we now are willing, are ready, are anxious to forgive that same forgiveness to others. That's the beauty of the gospel. God calls us this morning to put our trust in Jesus Christ, to trust Him for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins, and knowing what He has done, then in our lives to react to others with kindness, with gentleness, with humility, and a willing spirit to forgive. An ongoing process in our life. And this is to be the case with all those we come in contact with. Paul says, there is neither a Greek nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free. We are to take on this new life, to put on these characteristics by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God wrought in us, and exhibit them to all around us. And all are called to this, regardless of nationality, neither Greek nor Jew, regardless of religion, regardless of ethnicity or culture or economic status. None of us are exempt from this call to live this way, to put to death the things of the flesh, and to cultivate by the power of the Spirit the matters of godliness in our life. None are exempt. It is a call to all of us to be actively engaged in that ongoing process of genuine repentance and conversion. Yes, the work of God, absolutely the work of God in our lives. Left to ourselves, we would not change anything. We cannot change a heart. But as God changes our heart, we in our lives actively show forth that change in putting to death the things of the flesh, in the rising to the life, the things of God, and doing that which He has called us to do. Paul concludes this section, verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do in word or deed, we talked last time about good deeds and good words. Paul echoes that again here. Giving thanks to God the Father. This is our thankful response. It is not done so God will take notice of us. It is the response because He has, of His own free will, chosen to make us His own, chosen to raise us with Christ, and now calls us to live these lives of the dying away of the old self, the coming to life of the new self, done in gratitude and thanksgiving to Him. And to Him then belongs all the glory and the honor and the praise as we see His work in the life of us his children. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we know you are a powerful God, a great God, a glorious God, a one who in your Son, Jesus Christ, has done everything necessary to secure our salvation, and who continues by the power of the Holy Spirit to work in us. Lord God, we pray that you would remove from us not just the external sins, but the root of sin that remains in our hearts. May we put these things to death by the power of your Spirit. May we not return to them, but rather turn to you and follow in the paths of godliness, putting on kindness, compassion, all of these attributes for your honor and for your glory. Oh, we confess, Lord God, our progress in this process is all too slow. So we pray you would continue to work in us, continue to strengthen us, continue to remind us that we have been raised with Christ. Help us to set our minds on things above. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.